Morning, birds. Hey, big deal today. This is a human holiday, birds, called Election Day. I know. Have you heard about it? Here in the United States, it's really a big deal. Oh yeah, yeah. So I want to make sure that we have the proper music to kick things off. So we have a new computer database, and we put all the data in, and I put it all in there. Yeah, you know, all this stuff that we have going on, and I expected all kinds of cool music to come out. You know, John Philip Sousa and Amber Waves of Grain and Yankee Doodle. I know, but get this. Here's what it came up with. Boy, the computer world is just so cool. That's the computer selected theme song for Election Day 2020 here on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago on Bleat.network. It is 4 after the hour, and welcome in. We have a show. We have a show for you today. Well, oh my goodness gracious. Here's a good one as we wait to figure out what's happening. Twitter and Facebook are warning users about election posts that prematurely declare victory. I think that's a good thing. We'll back into it here. The swing states of Michigan and Pennsylvania were 11th hour campaign stops. They also set single day records for new virus cases. So that's cooking. But I'll tell you what, the big story. And Jesus, this is ironic. Dr. Deborah Birx, the White House coronavirus coordinator, bluntly urged officials in a private memo to pursue a more aggressive approach to the COVID, directly contradicting President Super Spreader. I mean, President Trump. So, yeah, that's what happened here. What excellent timing here. A top White House coronavirus advisor sounded alarms yesterday about a new and deadly phase in the health crisis, pleading with top administration officials for much more aggressive action. even as President Trump continues to assure rallygoers that the nation is rounding the turn on the pandemic. We need a sound effect for that one. We are entering the most concerning and most deadly phase of this pandemic, leading to increasing mortality. That is a report from Deborah Birx, who is the top White House COVID point person, who says it's not about lockdowns. It hasn't been about lockdowns since March or April. It's about an aggressive, balanced approach that is not being implemented. So there you go. That's an internal report. It was shared with top White House and agencies officials. Agency officials contradicts Trump on numerous points. The president, of course, holding large campaign events, these inane rallies with hundreds of attendees, mostly without masks. She says that's not a good thing. The president blames rising cases on more testing. She says testing is actually flat or declining in many areas. And while Trump says the country is rounding the turn, Birx notes the country is entering its most dangerous period yet. So what a good day to vote for president. Here in Illinois, Governor Pritzker urging patience with the election results. And I'll just report this, has said that the Illinois National Guard is in a state of readiness in the event of unrest. So that's cooking there. Chicago labor unions here in Chicago say a general strike is an option if there are threats to a free and fair election today. How about this in just north of the city here, Evanston. The mayor of Evanston has asked Northwestern University to pay the bill for protests as student groups push the school to defund campus police. You want to try to sort that one out? So that's cooking. Here's a story. I'm going to just throw this out here. I have a little bit of a personal thought about this. This is from Reuters this morning in a case pitting LGBT rights against religious rights. The United States Supreme Court on Wednesday, it's tomorrow, set to hear arguments in a dispute over the city of Philadelphia's refusal to place children for foster care with a Catholic Church-affiliated agency that excludes same-sex couples from serving as foster parents. They're going to talk about that tomorrow. You know what? I'll divert for a second. I took this kind of thing up a few years ago. I was working in Iowa. I was a pretty conservative area. It's not a bad place. I had a lot of friends there, but they're fairly conservative. Anyway, there was a couple that made the news. They were a gay couple, I think from Des Moines. And they had adopted someone, and that was a very controversial thing. I had them on the show, and this wasn't a baby. This was like young child. And I said, so what happened here? And they said, nobody else wanted him. No other couple wanted him. So that's that. All right. I wish them well as they figure this out tomorrow in Washington. And finally, I've got something for you. On the first day of the last day of the something day, I have a file that is good COVID. You ready? Here we go. Researchers in Germany may have good news for frustrated concert goers. An analysis of indoor concerts staged by scientists in August suggests that the impact of such events on the spread of the coronavirus is low to very low. That's a quote. As long as organizers, now get this, ensure adequate ventilation, strict hygiene protocols, and limited capacity, according to the German researchers who conducted the study. So Michael Goettke, part of the team at Martin Luther University, says that the risk of getting infected is very low. So Trump's right. We're turning the corner. Now we're figuring some of this out. So you want to go to a concert? All right, we're going to do that soon. We'll do it under the right circumstances, and it looks like we're going to be okay. In fact, we could go to a Katie Lang show. You want to? Katie Lang. Having a birthday anniversary week. 14 after the hour. This is Election Day 2020. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago at bleat.network. Please join us in any way you want to. It's radioanything@gmail.com. It's 844-220-3300. In fact, let's see here. I think we got a message here. We did, because I'm surrounded by maps here. The polls close when? Let's see here. Ooh, let's go to Puerto Rico. Want to?
Hello, this is Luis Rodriguez calling from Puerto Rico. And I'm just hoping that this election is one that really honors democracy and our Constitution, because it's been really, these past 4 years, it's been really, I would say, a national tragedy.
Well, well said. Well said, a national tragedy.
The politics of Donald Trump. So hopefully a big change is coming. Have a good one.
Thanks, Luis. Luis from Puerto Rico, our Puerto Rican correspondent. National tragedy. yeah. All right. What do you want to tell us? It's 844-220-3300, or attach an email. Just send an email to radioanything@gmail.com. I thought I'd talk a little bit in the next few minutes, with your permission, about all the elections that I remember, and some of them. Boy, I made a list today. Not only just kind of being on the air to cover, as it were, but, you know, going back way, way, way back. I'm going to hit in a minute. I'm going to start with 1960, which is the first one that I remember. But I don't remember this one. I would have been one for the election of 1952. This was the first television commercial. You got a picture. This is a cartoon for the next president of the United States, the Honorable Dwight D. Eisenhower, who everybody called Ike.
Ike for president. You like Ike, I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike
for president.
Hang out the banner, beat the drum. We'll take Ike to Washington.
We don't want John
or Dean
or Harry.
Let's do that big job right. Let's get in step with the guy that's hep. Get in step with Ike. You like Ike, I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike for president. Hang out the banner, beat the drum. We'll take Ike to Washington. We got to get where we are going. Travel day and night
for president.
Let Adelaide go the other way. We'll all go with
Ike.
You like Ike, I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike
for president.
Hang out the banner, beat the drum. We'll take Ike to Washington. We'll take Ike to Washington.
Now is the time for all good Americans to come to the aid of their country.
Ooh. You know who else they got that year? Nixon.
Got soul.
And wasn't it Grace Slick's birthday last week? I think it was. The Volunteers song from the Jefferson Airplane. Long time ago. I think that would have been the election. Let's see here. How about 1968? Wow. An unintentional segue. Yeah, that TV commercial was 1952. That was Ike Eisenhower with his running mate, Nixon. Maybe this week I'll play the Checkers speech. That is cool. It takes some a little bit of explanation, but well, maybe some people that are somewhat younger. Anyway, that was in 1952. And then by 1968, Nixon was running by himself with Agnew. Oh, man, I'm remembering all this stuff. That's right. And the slogan that year was, Nixon's the one. And there was another sign that said, yeah, and Agnew's one, too. All right, now, what did I say, 1960? All right, I do remember 1960. I would have been nine, I think. I remember only that there was some thing happening on election night, and that would have been Kennedy and, geez, wait a minute, he's here again, Nixon. All right, this is the first time Nixon runs for president in 1960 against Kennedy. Kennedy wins, and I remember that, I do. Now, in 1964, by this point, I'm living in Indiana, which is a very conservative state, and in Porter County. Goldwater, Barry Goldwater, ever heard of him? Barry Goldwater, really conservative person that got clobbered by LBJ that year, except in my hometown of Porter County. Goldwater's campaign slogan was, in your heart, you know he's right. And the bumper sticker that we had was, but in your guts, you know he's nuts. So the country survived all that in 1968, and they elected Nixon. 72, that was Nixon. That was Watergate. That was the Watergate election. Nixon was about to slaughter George McGovern. I don't even think, we should check that. I'll ask a news baron, Aaron, to help me on some of the history here. I think that was the year. I don't even think that, I think McGovern got like one electoral vote or one state. And that was the election in which the Nixon people were so paranoid that they bugged the Democratic National Committee. And that led in the Watergate Hotel complex, and that led to Watergate. So that was that was a big one here. Let's see. That brings us to wait a minute, 1976. I should have like slides, right? And popcorn and Aunt Bertha, come on in here. Sit. We're gonna show my old things. In 1976, I was actually doing radio in North Carolina. That was the year that Jimmy Carter was elected, and Carter was the, I never really thought that I did voices very well, but I used to do Jimmy Carter. You're gifted today for me. I won't do it today, but anyway, I'm living down in North Carolina. I was doing radio on WFNC. That's where Fort Bragg is. And I do remember, see now, those of you living in the North, you would not have heard this commercial. And it went something like this. Some people say that a Southerner can't be elected president. And that was Jimmy Carter. That was the Jimmy Carter thing. Yeah. So anyway, he was in fact elected in 76. 1980, Reagan. He did his thing. And in 1984, let's see, by 1988, I was on the air in New York City having arguments with people. And that was the year, let's see here. We did a thing on Dan Quayle. Remember Dan Quayle? Bush and Quayle. They said it sounded like a sporting magazine. We did. I remember that they were going to get him on, get him off, and anyway. By the year 2000. Oh, whoa! The year 2000. That was the weirdest election we ever had. That was the year that we had. It came down to like 500 votes in Florida. The Supreme Court took it up in Bush v. Gore, and. Oh, geez. I just remembering all this stuff. Crazy, crazy times. Huh? I'm sure glad that things are cool now.
songs. Hey, my life's a funny thing. Am I still too young? He kissed Laverne there. She took his ring, took his babies. It took him minutes, took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken anything.
All night.
She was a young American.
Young Americans, and this is your day. It is. This is Young America's day to take it back, and we hope that everybody is doing their thing. It's 27 after the hour. It is Election Day from Chicago and all around the United States and around the world. As they used to say, the whole world is watching, and boy, are they today as we try to figure out who is going to be running things. And let's see here. So just under 3 months now, the 20th of January, a Wednesday. In fact, we are resetting the countdown clock. We had on our website, which is bleat.network, we had a clock counting down the days to today. And now we got to reset it. So I think that we've already done that. Sparks reached around the with their virtual fingers and reset the countdown clock. We got to name it. What are we going to call it? So I thought we'd get into that a little bit. You know what? If you're listening to this, you could send me some input on that. What should we title the countdown clock? In other words, what is the inauguration? What is that all about? Send me a toll-free voicemail. It's 844-220-3300. Or an email would be good at radioanything@gmail.com. So. Gonna get to that. All right, let's do some functionality here. If I can find my way. I don't have my functional file. Well, we're gonna come up with it. I know what I'm gonna mention. I got a note this morning. How about this? And then we will join Aaron the News Baron. Will join us, and we're gonna crunch the stuff here. So, let's see here. Hang on, I got a line ringing here. Just ring it up. Just ring it up here. I'm gonna pick it up in a second here. I saw this was a campaign note. Today, we hope the next president, Joe Biden, and the next vice president, Kamala Harris, are meeting and hanging out in Wilmington, Delaware. Why is that such a cool thing? That is where I was born. It is. I was born in Wilmington, Delaware. Biden, I think, was born in Pennsylvania, but of course, is, you know, represents Delaware. I don't know that Kamala's ever been there. She probably has. So anyway, I wanted to say welcome to the first state. That's true. Delaware was the first state to ratify the Constitution. That's why they call it that. All right. Okay. You know, I'm just staring out the window on my virtual. My virtual bus today. Let's go look for America and then we'll see if we can find Aaron.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. Some real estate here in my bag. So we bought a pack of cigarettes and this is Wagner Pies and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. The scenery. She read her magazine and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know. Cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
I always like that song, as we seek out America today, except that nobody actually is feeling like this. It's more like, when are we going to find out? We're going to figure that out. It's 33 past the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago. And when the News Baron joins us here, let's see here. Aaron, hello.
Hey, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning. So you sound pretty relaxed today.
I don't know.
Aaron and I are FaceTiming here. We're sharing the audio with you. Did you see this map that I'm holding up? It's one of these crazy, like you gave a jigsaw puzzle to somebody that has some sort of a developmental problem, and they just cut the United States. Yeah, so. Wow, yeah. So what's your deal? Do we anticipate that you're going to be staying up all night trying to figure out what's going on here? Likely?
I will. I'll be waiting with bated breath, I'm telling you. But I'm looking at the final Election Day polling, the final maps. I'm pretty hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful that it's going to be over soon, or that it's going to be,
A lot of people are projecting that we shouldn't be waiting, you know, the month that is like the worst case scenario, waiting on Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And we may have an answer pretty quick.
Yeah, all right, let's deal this out pretty quick. All right, I'm translating. This is Chicago time now. All right, it's 6 p.m. in Chicago. Florida closes, Georgia closes, North Carolina closes, and Ohio. Comment, Florida's, are we going to know anything then about Florida?
Yes. So Florida's one of those states that had the rolling mail-in vote count. So as soon as your mail-in vote get in, they started to count it. So on election day, they should have a majority of those counted. Then by the time polls close, we'll have a pretty clear picture of what's going on there.
Actually, now if Florida doesn't go, it could be game over right there. Yes.
Yes. So
of Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you look at that map and look at the path each person has to victory,
yeah,
Trump does not have any path without Florida.
Okay.
But all Biden, right, he has a few.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So also then that first hour, 6 p.m. in Central Time Zone. Ohio closes early and mail ballots will come first. This is New York Times says, don't be surprised if Biden takes an early lead. Georgia, this one often counts slowly. It's where molasses is from, is Georgia. But it's not just who wins here. Georgia's a great example of a state that nobody thought was going to be in play, and it looks like Biden could be right there. So
yeah.
And we got a shout out to Stacey Abrams, who I hope someday runs for something. She's from Georgia. All right, North Carolina also closes, a quick count. North Carolina was won handily by Trump 4 years ago. Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah,
and actually, it looks like Biden could come in and do something there.
It does. It does. Okay. If he can take Virginia and North Carolina, then because Trump really needs to run the board. I think that's the overarching message. He needs to run the board every single swing state and Pennsylvania, where Biden's leading. As we get these in, if Biden even plucks off one or two of these states coming in early, it's a done deal.
And that's why, I don't want to divert too much here, and that's why Trump yesterday, where is this? Hang on. If you had your breakfast, see if you can hold it down for just a second here.
I think it's a terrible thing when ballots can be collected after an election. I think it's a terrible thing when people or states are allowed to tabulate ballots
right
for a long period
when they're actually allowed to count ballots that aren't for me.
Because it can only lead to one thing, and that's very bad. You know what that thing is. I think it's a very dangerous, terrible thing.
That's right.
And I think it's terrible when we can't know the results of an election,
the night of the election. Aaron, has this guy, where did this man come from?
I think it's a terrible decision.
It's a terrible, that's right. I played this yesterday, and when my parents got drunk and argued, you could tell how smashed they were by the number of times they said terrible.
And I don't think it's fair.
It's not fair.
A long period of time.
Because I need to go to bed early.
Yeah,
my Adderall and my cocoa, and then I put on my jammies. I'm done. I don't want to stay up all night.
They could have put their ballots in a month ago. I would think it's a ridiculous
decision. Oh, shut up. Sit down. All right. So the couple things about that, I mean, he knows. I think he knows that they're not gonna replicate their success 4 years ago. But it's interesting that he's already anticipating whatever he perceives as a window to say, and we should wrap this up right now. And that was they're going to go in with the lawyers. So, but I think you told me this a couple of weeks ago on the air. That's you predicted that exactly, not the number of terribles in the soundbite, but you're close though. So,
it kind of because early on, I saw him taking his money, his advertising money, out of the swing states. That was curious to me. And then I realized the whole campaign, the end of it, he was not trying to do the normal Democratic thing of winning over more people. He was just sticking to the base, which he did for the majority of his presidency, so should have stuck out to me. But even in those closing days and the talking about Hunter Biden at the debate, it's obvious he knows he's not going to win the popular vote. Yeah. He's just going to do some trickery.
Yeah. He really is. I hate to say, I'm speaking as an old man myself, but this guy's gone. I mean, he's like the playbook, you know, the year that we won the championship, we used this one. Yeah. Right? I mean, and Giuliani doesn't even know what year it is now. All right, it's 20 years. It's 20 before the hour here. Aaron the News Baron, and I looking at. I was going to save the best for last here. Well, let's hit Texas first. I think, and I don't know why I think this. My sister lives in Texas. A leftist school teacher who teaches in Texas. There are Democrats in Texas, and I'm going to tell you. They are not cool with what's happened down there. They're very unhappy with the governor, Greg Abbott, and blah, 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 blah. So what do you think? You like Biden's chances in Texas?
That one, see, that will determine whether it's a wave or a win.
Yeah. Good, so yeah.
Trump is up ahead like 1.5 points or 1 point right now in Texas. They have extremely high voter turnout in Texas, and usually high voter turnout helps the Democrats. So I wouldn't wait for that one.
Yeah.
But if we get Texas, that would speak volumes about the electorate this year.
And then Pennsylvania, which we've all been looking at as the center of attention for so many reasons, the nature of its role, you know, 4 years ago, and the disputes over the votes this year and all that. So anyway, we've been looking at this. It's conceivable that we may have information from these other places that Pennsylvania won't even matter when it comes in. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. If we get, again, so Pennsylvania is that last domino. If that falls down for Biden, then it looks like it's game over.
Wow.
But he can tally up Virginia, South Carolina, and Arizona, any of those, a second congressional in Nebraska with Arizona. He's good.
You think he's going to take Arizona, Biden? I mean, I do. Go ahead. But you like that idea?
So each state in the margin of error, it moves way more towards Biden depending on how these early states look. So I don't know how to really phrase that. But if it's a wave year, we could see a lot of these dominoes start to fall. And it looks like it may be a wave year.
Now, listen, let's do something. I wanted to grab the thing. Let me just grab this. You know about this guy. His name is Robert Cahaly, C-A-H-A-L-Y, C-A-H-A-L-Y. And the interesting thing about this guy is a pollster. In full disclosure, I blew it 4 years ago. I did not think that Trump was going to win. And, you know, speaking of margin of errors, a lot of us that were wrong, you have to say, well, the final tally was within the margin of error of the last polls. But it was interesting. Anyway, so I'm saying I blew it. How did I blow it? Well, I blew it because I was overly confident something. But the one guy who apparently got it right is a guy whose name is Robert Cahaly, C-A-H-A-L-Y. He has a company called Trafalgar Group. And the interesting thing is he nailed Trump's final electoral vote tally. Is that right?
Yes.
So go ahead.
In 2016, his main theory, though, in 2016 was that there was a secret Trump voter.
Right.
This person who wouldn't tell pollsters that they were voting for Trump, et cetera, et cetera. This year, I don't know if that holds up. Last year, that was it was granted to assume that. This year, they asked more questions like, who did you vote for last time? And then this time, we have a higher number of people saying they voted for Trump and switching their answer to Biden. And and then you see the rallies and the fact that he won kind of brought some confidence to these people. So I don't know how much that group still exists, but that is something to look out for. If there's still that voter that's, you know, as they do tend to do, calling up or answering phone calls from pollsters and lying up and down the ballot, then we could have some huge gaps or blind spots in these polls.
Yeah, I mean, this didn't start just with political polling, but I think in general, people tell surveyors what they think they want to hear. Not all the time, but that certainly is weighted. You know, when you go to somebody and say, you know, do you prefer, do you like filet mignon or do you like Spam? How many? I have a can of, I got a can of Spam right here. You know, for the average person is going to say, oh, filet. They're not going right. to cop to Spam, right? So right. I'm not saying the president is Spam, but well, maybe I am.
Pretty close.
And also, along these same lines, you sent me a note, and maybe we'll get to this certainly this week, maybe tomorrow. The influences of social media on what people tell pollsters. And I'm thinking that I have a feeling we'll do exit polling today, and that'll, you know, be some of that. So anyway.
Right.
All right. I think we better take a break here and a breath. And then we are going to reset the countdown clock to reflect the inauguration. Wow. Hey, that sounded good. I just said inauguration. Gotta chill over my whole body. So hang on.
Just a kiss, just a kiss. I have lived just for this. I can't explain why I've become this chatelaine. Just a smile, just a smile.
smooth. Katie Lang has a birthday this week. I was just I was just doing charades over FaceTime with Aaron. Because we're all new at this thing that we're doing here. I was telling 30 seconds is a closed fist. When you do that, we think, I hope. if it's not, you're going to get in a lot of trouble one of these days. So. All right, Aaron the Newsbearer joins us back here. And let's see here. With any luck, let me see if I can do this right. With any luck, I believe we also have... There, oh, there she is, Sparks! Oh, my God.
Morning.
Good morning. Wow, how are you? Katie, how old is Katie Lang? I didn't write that down. Do you remember offhand? Not offhand. I will look at it. So listen, we're looking forward now. Inauguration is the 20th of January, a Wednesday at noon Eastern time. And we had the clock on the website, which is bleat.network, counting down to today, which is the election. So the question was, what are we going to put under the clock now? So, Aaron, did you give us some thought to this?
I thought of something.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you got? I'm trying to think of it.
Which one of these uncle things is your idea, Sparks? Was this?
The first one.
Okay, the first. So under the new countdown clock, all right. We are now using the slogan.
Crazy Uncle finally leaves the party.
Okay, I like that. I think yes, yeah. I think that's exactly right. And then what was this? The second one is.
Crazy Uncle Donnie's bedtime.
Okay, I like that. These are much better. See, I came up, you know, with what did I have? I don't even have the right. I know what it was. It's the Joe Biden show. There it is. But you know, some of this stuff you just can't make it work, no matter what you do. I do think though it's interesting. I mean, we want the beginning of something, right? Not the end of something. Aaron, would you agree?
Yes, very true.
All right, so we should say something about Biden, maybe.
Good point. Yeah. It's the beginning of a new era.
Yeah, we hope. We certainly hope it is. So, yeah. Yeah, well, okay. So we've accomplished one thing. We know that it's no longer a week till the election, right? It's today, you think?
So, right.
All right, I like that. Let me hit that one again here. Crazy Uncle.
Crazy Uncle finally leaves the party.
Somebody just yelled at me and said, what are you calling that guy a crazy uncle for? Listen to this.
I think it's a terrible thing.
That's right.
When ballots can be collected after election.
You're as nutty as a friggin' fruitcake. No, that's right. So, exactly. So, give him Ivanka, get him his sleeper, you know, and he's now going to go into the bedroom.
Crazy Uncle Donnie's bedtime.
That's right. Just as soon as the Adderall wears off. All right. So, okay. So, we're agreeing now, Sparks. We're going to put a title of some sort under that clock, and why don't you tabulate our votes today? Could you? I'm gonna vote for everything, and if anybody listening to us, if you have what should we title the new countdown clock, which again it lets us know that there are it's like two months and 3 weeks to inauguration, which is on the 20th. of January, and it's at noon. So, all right, we're gonna title that, because, of course, on the other hand, we could have, well, this would be good. God answers. There it is. Yeah, he's done. There's how about this? Okay, we could have. All right, one more. I'm sorry, I singed myself. I shouldn't have worn the bare feet. Or it would just, you know, this. This is a sound to me that really says it all as we cover the end of the Trump administration. That's right. Goodbye. All right. So there you are. There's lots to choose from there. All right. I'm let's see here. I dropped my I dropped my paper here. All right. You guys, thanks for joining us this morning on the show. Aaron, call me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I will.
And let me know if Omaha came in. Okay.
If I'm crying, then we'll know the answer.
Sparks, what do you think? Let's hear. I'm going to give Sparks. I'm going to give you. Let's write this down, Aaron. I'm going to give Sparks a chance to predict something. All right. It's what is it? What is it to win? 270? 270 votes, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right. And last time around, I'm looking. I just dropped my thing. What did Trump get last time? He got 306.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Natasha, why don't you predict what is Trump's vote total this year? And if it's over 270, we are going to be in very bad shape. So what do you think?
I'm hoping it's under.
It's super under. It's Natasha, this isn't Price is Right. All right, so it's going to be under 270. Thank goodness. All right. How well could Biden do? You think? Yeah, I think he'd maybe. Let's see. Hillary Clinton got 227 votes. So wow, was it? No wonder she lost. I'd forgotten. And Aaron, what did you just? You just show, you put something up on the screen there for me. What was that?
So I did the best case scenario for Trump right now.
Yeah.
And looking about 259 for him.
Okay. 259. All right. That's under 270.
It is.
That's right. Okay. Well, I guess we're back to the whole
crazy uncle finally leaves the party.
That's exactly right. And listen, by the way, the as our go-to slogan for both of you, that you know, there are no accidents.
I think probably nothing will teach you more than just experimenting.
Yeah.
Do as many different things as you have the nerve to do.
So just vote as often as you can today is what Bob is telling you there. I hope that the election goes your way. For Natasha Rodriguez, who produces us from Chicago, for Aaron the News Baron, played today by Aaron Mittens, we'll see you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.